T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning, Lee.
Howdy, Tara.
All right, so that impeachment vote, that went well.
Yeah.
For all their smack talking, how about this, man? We're going to get him. We are going to get him this time for what he did. What did he do? You know, what he did.
Yeah, he's above the law.
He's above the law.
And he's above the law, yeah.
Is above the law. And we can't be lawless, except for Democrats. But, So for all their smack talking, how did that go? It went so poorly, President Trump made fun of them. Democrat votes on the motion to table. So this is to put away. It's motion to table to put away the impeachment vote. So this would be a vote to kill it, basically.
Yes.
137 Democrats voted to kill the impeachment motion.
See, that's what I don't understand. Why Pelosi allowed that to happen?
She could have
stopped that, because this is fodder for Republicans and conservatives. Hey, Democrats don't want him impeached. Why do you guys keep talking about it? Why do your leading candidates keep talking about impeaching the president? Your House of Representatives, you can't even get enough votes to pass it. I mean, 2/3 of the Democrats voted against it, not impeaching Trump.
Only 95 voted for it.
Yeah. So how in the world would a Speaker of the House allow that vote to take place? That's one of the main things you do as Speaker. You make sure your party never puts anything on the floor that's not going to pass.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're a Republican, you make sure your party never puts anything on the floor that will pass and be popular.
Yeah, well, there
as Paul
there
Ryan
that.
Did.
Yes,
we
exactly.
had all the immigration fixes in a wonderful bill, and Ryan made sure it never got a vote. That was what he did. By the way, he says Trump doesn't know anything about governing, but he does. Last week, I wanted to smack him. But anyway, so Trump takes a picture of the screenshot. 137 Democrats voting to kill the impeachment with only 95 voting for. Here's what he tweets. The United States House of Representatives has just overwhelmingly voted to kill the resolution on impeachment, 332 to 95 to 1. This is perhaps the most ridiculous and time-consuming project I have ever had to work on. Impeachment of your president, who has led the greatest economic boom in the history of our country, the best job numbers, biggest tax reduction, rebuilt the military, and much more, is now over. This should never be allowed to happen to another president of the United States again. Yeah, there's not even the will to do this among the Democrats. You know what this tells you, by the way? This polls horribly. That's why this happened.
Yeah, exactly.
This polls horribly. The Democrats are well aware of that.
And they know they don't have the support of the people to impeach the president.
No. Mm-mm. They don't have it.
But that's a huge, huge mistake for Pelosi right there. And I wonder why she allowed that vote to even go to the floor. It makes me wonder if there's not some deal behind the scenes with the squad and some others that are behind this. If she's got any sense at all, she got something out of this, because this looks really bad for her. Now, you won't hear the media talk about that, because they'll never say anything bad about Nancy Pelosi. But this was a huge failure as far as the House Speaker is concerned.
Yeah. I can't argue with that. And, you know, maybe, okay, going along the lines of what you're thinking of here, perhaps, I mean, let's look at who wants to do the impeachment, because she hasn't wanted to do it. She's flat out said, this is not popular. This is not what the American people want. I mean, she said that. She's told us that, right? So maybe this is her way of ending it. Her way of saying, okay, to the socialism squad and your Looney Tunes supporters, all right. Cool. You want this. You're agitating for this vote to impeach him. Let's have it. Because this takes this off her plate, too. Showing him, look, it's no votes. Let's drop this and move on to something else. Because this has tied them up completely. I mean, if you think about it, if you look at it from her perspective, okay, if you turn on the mainstream media right now, it's nothing but an impeach-a-thon. Everything, I mean, you know, Trump puts a tweet out, it's racist. Okay, we'll impeach him for racism. Yeah, they're going to impeach him for a new thing every week. This is her way of showing the media, we don't have the votes to impeach him, so drop it. Because impeachment talk doesn't help. It doesn't help them. That's obvious. They would have voted to do it if it did. That's my theory anyway. Who knows? Because, I mean, and then you're going to impeach him. It's bad in the polls. And then what? It's not going to pass the Senate.
No.
So what's the point of this then? I can't tell you. I have no idea. But yeah. By the way, did you see Trump took credit thanking the vicious young socialist congresswomen for his improved poll numbers?
I didn't see that. That's great.
New poll, the Rasmussen poll, one of the most accurate in predicting the 2016 election, he tweeted, has just announced that Trump numbers have recently gone up by 4 points to 50%. Yeah, that's since Monday. Is that not hysterical?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to the vicious young socialist congresswomen. America will never buy your act, he says.
And, you know, that's very appropriate because what they're doing is an act.
Oh, yeah.
And in fact, what all the Democrats now, their indignant outrage at these racist comments, this is an act because there's nothing racial about it. I'll keep saying this because it's true. There is nothing racial about criticizing policies of people in Congress, period.
Yeah. But that's the way they want to make it.
Of course, because that's the narrative.
Yep.
That's the one they know they can get traction with the left-wing media and corporations around the country.
Yeah. Let's jump on the line. Joseph in Greenville. Hey, Joseph.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Two quick comments. Number one, Al Green keeps saying that Trump got away with justice from the 90 days the Mueller report came out. And the Mueller report didn't find anything on him. So how could he be getting away with injustice at that point?
Well, there is. He's not. I mean, the Democrats took a look at the report and just said, you know what? We're just going to pave over it with talking points. We're just going to pretend that it found something and confuse everybody. And that's what they did. That's
so easy.
Yeah. Just
so easy. A caveman could do it.
Right. I mean, well, that's if you have the media in your pocket, sure.
Well, he looks like the Geico caveman. Secondly, these four horses rears of the apocalypse. Correct me if I'm wrong. Have they not been going around saying stuff like this is no longer a country for white people and that kind of stuff? Maybe I'm mistaken. They said it, but somebody's been going around saying that type of rhetoric, and I don't see anybody calling them racist or anything of that nature.
Oh, I mean, Nancy Pelosi has done that, too. She said, look, this is, you know, if you want to do border enforcement, that's part of Make America White Again. If you want to do census counts that are accurate, that's part of Make America White Again. I mean, Pelosi's leading the charge there.
Well, what is wrong with white America?
I don't know. They never do explain that, do they?
Some reason they don't. So how is that not racist? They come out and say it. White people have had their time. It's our time now. So how is that not racist?
You know what? We're not the ones who write the rules. I guess that's why we don't control the majority of the media, which is frustrating. Thank you for your phone call, Stuart. Ed in Greenville is on the Ingalls Advantage talk line. Hey, Ed.
Hi. How are you this morning?
Good.
I would like to correct something or qualify something that Paul Ryan said when he stated that Donald Trump knows nothing about politics, and Paul Ryan was absolutely right. Donald Trump does not know anything about the politics that Ryan believes in and that Paul Ryan practiced.
Yeah, I mean, Paul Ryan was just an absolute blight on this country. I mean, there's no other way to describe him.
You're right.
You know, I mean,
but Trump knows nothing about his kind of politics.
No, he doesn't.
The corrupt kind.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, what he meant was, we've always done it this way and we've always lost and we've been happy with that. And we should. Trump doesn't know how to continue doing that. Well, he's right. He's not not wrong about that.
Tara, I want to remind you of something else.
Sure.
That this racist president has done. According to the Marine Times, the Defense Department's April 10th release of slated general promotions includes a historic first for the Corps, Marine Corps Colonel Lorna M. Malock, the Deputy Director of Operations, Plans, Policies, and Operations at Marine Corps Headquarters outside of D.C., will become the first black woman to don the rank of Brigadier General if confirmed, nominated by the Trump administration.
Yeah, but you can't say that because you're white. And anything you say is racist. See? We can all play at this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Texter writes, hey, Tara. A lot of great stuff on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line today, 71307. Tara, the reason for the racial identity politics is because the progressives want to undermine the Constitution written by evil white men. Now, the text writes, hey, Tara, good morning. I just wanted to share something that has been written in scriptures for literally thousands of years, and it is this, quote, he that blesses Israel shall be blessed. He that curses Israel shall be cursed. These people shall find themselves fighting against God himself. So guess who will win? Texter writes, okay, so the squad's oath of office was to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. Seems to the common man and the first cousin of John Adams that this group is anything but protecting and defending the Constitution, and all that extends from it. We should impeach them now. Go, Trump. Now, the texter writes, thanks for another great Thursday, Tara. Be safe and stay focused. I will. Another texter writes, northbound I-26 backed up from Business 85 to Route 29. Ooh, what a mess. Oh, texter writes, Tara, as a descendant of Europeans from Italy and as a person born on the real Columbus Day, I cannot count the number of times when white European Americans have been told to go back where we came from. But that is not racist. Go figure. Another texter writes, I'm so sick of people saying that detention centers for illegals trying to get in the U.S., concentration camps, trying to get in the U.S. I'm so sick of people saying that detention centers for illegals trying to get in the U.S. Concentration camps were not because Jews were defying law. They were taken against their will after Jews were forced to hand over their guns. The Hitler-controlled media constantly spoke of evil Jews. The unclean, the greedy Jews. Yeah, they did. There was a lot of PR around that from the Nazi regime. Once regular people turned against the Jewish community, then they were collected. Their camps did not have clean water, sanitary food, clean beds and bedding and hygiene. They weren't allowed to keep their possessions. They were stripped of their clothing. Their heads were shaved. If they didn't die of malnutrition or disease, many were sent to the gas chambers. Yeah, we know all of that. I mean, it's a sickening, unfair comparison. It's offensive. Texter writes, Omar obviously broke immigration law, and that violation is a deportable offense for a legal immigrant, which is what Omar is. She is a conditional citizen. Send her back, send her back, send her back. It's pretty bad when your crimes are so obvious and well-documented that the president has to stand up there and go, she broke the law. Is anybody going to go after her for marrying her brother, committing this immigration fraud? I guess not. I guess not. I guess it's just, we'll just pretend it didn't happen. Texter writes, didn't the squad all answer a casting call for running for office? Good actresses reading a script. Actually, that was only AOC that we know of. She did audition for the congressional seat. They were willing to back somebody. And she won it. Thousands of people actually auditioned. So she is an actress of sorts. And the brain there is Psycat, her chief of staff. Texter writes, can you imagine if the squad succeeded in doing away with the Constitution and they were part of the rewrite? Scary. Another texter writes, maybe AOC should tour Auschwitz. Well, she was actually invited to by the Holocaust Museum. Not a tour of Auschwitz, but it's the second best thing in America anyway, which is in D.C. And she did not respond. Yeah, I know. Can you imagine? Republican, can you imagine if a Republican said something as ridiculous as, you know, whatever's going on in politics today is somehow akin to the concentration camps, which is a joke. And then was invited by the Holocaust Museum to, you know, take a tour. We'll explain history to you, that kind of thing. And then turned it down. Can you imagine? It would never end. It would never end. But then we know that, right? Texter writes, Did Trump's tweet actually say anything about countries? The one I saw said, go back where you came from. Texter writes, hate to break it down and make it this simple, but it sounds like a case of you can dish it out, but you just can't take it. Now, the text writes, if criticizing idiots and anti-Semites in politics who happen to be people of color makes me racist, I'm cool with that. Where's my T-shirt? A lot of us are. Text writes, Tara, this is your faithful millennial TJ from Spartanburg. A lot of this racist stuff happened when Nikki Haley pulled down the Confederate flag. Yeah, that's what started all of it. Don't forget that. Text writes, hey, Tara, we have a day without immigrant days. Let's have a week without U.S. taxpayers and see the real effect of that. I think that'd be awesome. Text writes, if these congresspersons don't like our laws, they should run for Congress. If these congresspersons don't like our laws, they should run for Congress. And if they win elections, spearhead legislation that, oh, wait, they already can do that. Another text writes, the Democrats are reaping what they sow. They are flooding districts with radical immigrants. And naturally, they are going to vote for radical representatives. The squad represents their districts accurately. Ilhan Omar's district. Well, I don't want to read it that way because it's not quite true. But let me put it this way. The highest level of terrorist recruits and ISIS recruits comes from Ilhan Omar's district in the entire country. So this is why when she wrote the letter, this is according to a local news station, Fox 8 in Indianapolis. This is why when she wrote the letter begging the judge to go easy on the 9 Minnesota men charged with attempting to join ISIS. And this, they'd already been convicted. We knew they were ISIS. We knew they wanted to be terrorists. We knew they wanted to go fight in Syria for ISIS. They were going to be sentenced. Ahead of these court dates, 13 letters were sent to Judge Michael Davis, basically asking for leniency. Among them was one from State Representative Ilhan Omar. Who writes a letter defending ISIS recruits? Who does that? I mean, they had their passports. They were ready to go. They were going to go to Syria. They were going to go to Syria, burn some people in cages, turn women into sex slaves, and behead everyone else. And that was fine with Ilhan Omar. I mean, it's just, I honestly don't think Trump went far enough in describing her. Who does that? Ask a judge for leniency? Anyway, here's what she wrote. Honorable Judge Davis, as you undoubtedly deliberate, with great caution, the sentencing of 9 recently convicted Somali American men. Yeah, for trying to join ISIS. I bring to your attention the ramifications of sentencing young men who made a consequential mistake. Oh, that was a mistake. To decades in federal prison. Incarcerating 20-year-old men for 30 or 40 years is essentially a life sentence. Well, good. You want them running around blowing stuff up? So what's ever going to go to Syria to do on behalf of ISIS? Oh, God, I'm going to get exercised. Society will have no expectations of the... that line doesn't make sense. It will. Society will have no expectations of the men to be released when they're 50 or 60. It will view them with distrust and revulsion. Such punishment measures not only lack efficacy, they inevitably create an environment in which extremism can flourish, aligning with the presupposition of terrorist recruitment. Americans do not accept you and continue to trivialize your value. Instead of being a nobody, be a martyr. Okay, so the solution. So what we do is if they want to go fight for ISIS, we pat them on the head, say that's okay, and we let them go so they won't get mad. Make sense? No? Call Ilhan Omar's office. She'll explain it to you.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This guy, Robert Epstein, testified before Congressly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he was grilled by Ted Cruz. Robert Epstein is a well-known liberal, publicly supported Hillary Clinton. He is a Harvard University PhD in psychology, editor-in-chief of Psychology Today. And he's a professor at the University of California, San Diego. So he's also the founder and director of the Cambridge Center for Behavioral Studies. So he knows a few things. He is obsessed with and has studied and documented for the last 6 years how Google, Facebook, and others are colluding illegally to steal elections. We'll get into the illegal part in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And as you listen to this, you got to understand, if I don't have any money and I go out there and I donate to a campaign, I donate something else. Like I say, well, you know, I've got a company producing mailings. I'll mail 500,000 people for you. No, that's an in-kind donation. It has a value. You can't just donate, sky's the limit. It doesn't work that way. It's an in-kind donation. There are limits on those. Okay. What if Facebook and Google could shift millions of votes? What would that be worth? Billions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Those are in-kind donations. They are illegal. Keep that in mind as you're listening to this. This is Robert Epstein testifying before the Senate about his research, which you can read online. It's extensive, into how many votes Google and Facebook are able to manipulate. And again, he's a liberal and a Hillary supporter.
I was a very strong public supporter of Hillary Clinton, yes.
So you're not dismayed that people voted for her, but your testimony is that Google is, through bias in search results, manipulating voters in a way they're not aware of.
On a massive scale. And what I'm saying is that I believe in democracy. I believe in the free and fair election more than I have any kind of allegiance to a candidate or a party.
And looking forward, if I understood your testimony correctly, you said in subsequent elections, Google and Facebook and Twitter and big tech manipulation could manipulate as many as 15 million votes in a subsequent election?
In 2020, if all these companies are supporting the same candidate, there are 15 million votes on the line that can be shifted without people's knowledge and without leaving a paper trail for authorities to trace.
Okay, that's terrifying.
Well, I mean, he says shifted. I think what he really means is influenced.
Yeah. He goes on to explain, okay, like, how do they do this?
Fair enough. Do you happen to know who the Hillary Clinton campaign's number one financial supporter was in the year 2016?
I think I do, but please remind me.
The number one financial supporter of the Hillary Clinton campaign in the 2016 election was the parent company of Google, Alphabet, who was our first witness. They were her number one financial donor, and your testimony is, through their deceptive search methods, they moved 2.6 million votes in her direction. I would think anybody, whether or not you favor one candidate or another, should be deeply dismayed about a handful of Silicon Valley billionaires having that much power over our elections to silently and deceptively shift vote outcomes.
Again, with respect, I must correct you. The 2.6 million is a rock bottom minimum. Mm. The range is between 2.6 and 10.4 million, depending on how aggressively they used the techniques that I've been studying now for 6.5 years.
Wow. Could you say that again, please?
The 2.6 million is a rock bottom minimum. The range is between 2.6 and 10.4 million votes, depending on how aggressive they were in using the techniques that I've been studying, such as the search engine manipulation effect, the search suggestion effect, the answer bot effect, and a number of others. They control these, and no one can counteract them. These are not competitive. These are tools that they have at their disposal exclusively.
If any headline comes out of this hearing, that should be it.
That's terrifying.
Yes, it is. It really is, because what's happening here is, I mean, let's be honest, Tara. You or I are not going to be influenced by bad search results. We know what we believe, and we know why we believe it.
And we know where to go to get the truth.
Exactly. But for the millions of those out there who are not daily consuming the political information that comes to citizens of this country, and then that is filtered through these large corporations like Alphabet, Google, Yahoo, you know, all the rest of them, they have no idea that they're not getting the information that they're not seeing. You don't know what you don't know. And that's what they're doing.
You know, you can see it. Like, it happened to me today. I saw on Fox News that Trump had hit 50% in a poll, right? And that was a big deal. I was like, oh, wow. And I knew it was Rasmussen. So I just put Trump hit 50% poll. Four liberal results come up telling me that Trump has never hit 50% in approval poll. He did.
Yeah.
It just happened. It's in the big Rasmussen tracker. You couldn't find it anywhere. So, I mean, if I had said that to somebody at work and they went and Googled it, they'd think I was wrong.
Well, and this
that's how powerful this is.
This is the equivalent of the deceptive headlines that newspapers were able to do years ago, where they would write a headline that says one thing. And of course, you read the article, get down to the last paragraph, you find out, oh, wait a minute, that's not what happened.
It gets worse, Lee, because Robert Epstein, the professor, the Harvard professor, or Harvard trained professor, who's, you know, editor of Psychology Today. I mean, this is a big influential person in psychology. He said, listen, Facebook's already practiced this influence shifting.
Right.
They even know how many votes they could shift. Listen to this. This is chilling.
If on Election Day in 2016, if Mark Zuckerberg, for example, had chosen to send out a go vote reminder, say just to Democrats, and no one would have known if he had done this, that would have given that day an additional at least 450,000 votes to Democrats. And we know this without doubt because of Facebook's own published data, because they did an experiment that they didn't tell anyone about during the 2010 election. They published it in 2012. It had 60 million Facebook users involved. They sent out a go vote reminder, and they got something like 360,000 more people to get off their sofas and go vote who otherwise would have stayed home. The point is, I don't think that Mr. Zuckerberg sent out that reminder in 2016. I think he was overconfident. I think Google was overconfident. All these companies were. I don't think he sent that out. Without monitoring systems in place, we'll never know what these companies are doing. But the point is, in 2018, I'm sure they were more aggressive. We have lots of data to support that. And in 2020, you can bet that all of these companies are going to go all out. And the methods that they're using are invisible. They're subliminal. They're more powerful than most any effects I've ever seen in the behavioral sciences, and I've been in the behavioral sciences for almost 40 years.
What you're testifying to is that a handful of Silicon Valley billionaires and giant corporations are able to spend millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars collectively, massively influencing the results of elections. And there's no accountability. You said, we don't know. We have no way of knowing if Google or Facebook or Twitter sends it to Democrats or Republicans, or how they bias it, because it's a black box with no transparency or accountability whatsoever. I mean, am I understanding you correctly?
Senator, with respect, I must correct you.
Please.
If Mark Zuckerberg chooses to send out a go vote reminder just to Democrats on Election Day, that doesn't cost him a dime.
But it's worth billions of dollars,
and who knows how many
campaign
votes.
Donations yeah. that must be disclosed. That is illegal.
Yeah.
You cannot do a massive in-kind donation because, well, I'm a corporation, I can do what I want. No, you can't.
Talk about influencing elections, outside influence of elections.
That's
and
massive.
What have we heard for 2.5 years? Russia, Russia, Russia. Look over there, squirrel.
Yeah. This is the real election influence.
Yeah.
This right here. I mean, again, there were no more than $3,000 spent in any swing state by people who are Russian, but who we've never proved have any relationship with the Kremlin. This is the real election influence. It's terrifying. And they can't even get the FEC to look into it. Let's jump back on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. Texter writes, but Tara, Trump colluded with Russia. What a crock of crap. If these billionaires can do this, that's the real collusion. Why, yes, it is. I mean, we've already seen what Google and YouTube did in the last election. They teamed up. Did you remember the Alum Bakuri at Breitbart? Fantastic reporter. We've had him on the show multiple times. Got a hold of the mea culpa by one of the vice presidents of Google. She was terribly embarrassed after Hillary won because it was her job to make sure that after Hillary lost, that Hillary won. That was her job. And so what they had done was coordinate rides, They were going to target Hispanics and coordinate rides, you know, with Hispanics, with a group that was giving Hispanics free rides to the polls. And that was her job. And she, you know, had failed. And she was trying to explain how she'd failed. And she felt so bad about it. That's what, a year ago that that came out? Seen an FEC investigation into that? Federal Elections Commission? Because that's illegal. It's an in-kind donation. No, they've never done it. Isn't it funny when you run into the real collusion is illegal on a massive scale? I mean, that's this is in-kind donations on a scale that wasn't even possible before technology. I mean, before, you know, Google and Facebook and all of this, at this level of collusion in terms of in-kind donations would have been impossible. I mean, you couldn't have dropped off $500 million worth of something at a campaign, you know, that's an in-kind contribution without somebody noticing it had taken over the entire parking lot. I mean, that would have to be mailings or something. But Google and Facebook can do it. Nobody will ever know. And again, it's not, well, they're a corporation. They can do it. No, they can't. Corporations don't get to provide in-kind donations to people they like. Think about it this way. Suppose here at WRD, we decide John Smith ought to win some seat. And so our advertising department goes ahead and puts a series of ads together for John Smith. About $35,000 worth. Oops. That violates federal elections limits. And then we just run them because we think John Smith is a swell guy. In-kind donation. Can't do it. It's illegal. Someone go to prison could go to prison for it. And yet Google and Facebook are doing it on a massive scale. I mean, the idea that Facebook has already done a dry run project to see how many votes they could influence in 2010. They already know how to do it. They've already tried it. It's scary. Texter writes, hey, Tara, if you add an adjective to qualify the word justice, it is no longer justice, but special treatment laws, i.e. social justice. Great point. You're right. It's not universal justice. It's only justice for certain people, of course, at the expense of others. Texter writes, the Dems tell us what they are doing by what they accuse others of doing. Yes, we say that every day, don't we? Texter writes, Tara, whatever happened to sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It seems now those that words are worse than sticks and stones. Another texter writes, I started getting numerous tweets from the left, from people that I don't even follow, sponsored by Twitter. I expect all kinds of funny business to continue like that. Texter writes, Tara, didn't Facebook do this in the Arab Spring areas like Egypt? Oh, yeah. No, they set up a war room in Ireland to help influence the Irish elections. And do you remember this? And they said, well, they were gonna combat Russian interference, but they didn't shut down a single Russian account. They were all conservatives. Their ads shut down, blocked. Other side allowed to do it. Oh, by the way, they say they're setting up a war room for the 2020 election, too. Can't wait to see how that works. Do you know how they're going to partner with? Your friends at the FBI. Yeah, you can totally trust them. Talk about a state-controlled election. Holy cow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.